Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
November 3rd, reporting in Brooklyn, New York, after the rage of Sandy, after a week of tragedy and heartbreak, personally attending two funerals for youth who lost their lives in the storm, I headed out with my co-workers from the Legal Aid Society and our Legal Justice Mobile Unit to assist public housing residents with FEMA applications, information on recouping lost wages during the storm, and replacement food stamps for those who had lost all their food, still are without power, and have no resources whatsoever to be able to eat after Sandy. And there are other legal needs. After leaving the residents of the public housing developments in Red Hook, Brooklyn, which was devastated by the storm, disabled and elderly residents still trapped in the apartments without electricity, heat, and the basic sustenance of life, we headed out to the normally impoverished residents in Coney Island. Half a mile from the Oceanside community on my way to set up the Mobile Justice Unit on Mermaid Avenue and West 28th Street, we were greeted by a Twilight Zone reality. It virtually overwhelmed us. Monster trees torn from the sidewalks with chunks of concrete uprooted and clinging precariously to the roots. What must be cars, as you could see from the faint outlines, completely buried under sand that had been pushed blocks in from the beach as though by massive bulldozers, covered and made impassable most of the streets. And then there were the very few numbers of small stores that service the area there, their fronts torn out, wires dangling precariously every which way, and block after block of refuge furniture, the remainders of people's lives tossed into the street as though playthings from a child's dollhouse in the midst of the freezing winds. But the sight of the hundreds and hundreds of residents just wandering around, or continuing to throw their household possessions waterlogged, moldy, and noxious into the streets, or others simply dazed, looking for some respite, some assistance, improperly clothed, having most of their belongings destroyed, desperate and dazed, was absolutely overwhelming. Nevertheless, the resilience of the human spirit was evident, and the hope still present, and the inspirational sight of young brothers who had organized brigades to deliver the bottled water and whatever foodstuffs had been donated and was available to the neighborhoods in an area still without any power was remarkable. The power they demonstrated and beauty of human collectivity and its potential to rebuild a far more just and equal society still abounded. I'm out here on West 28th Street and Mermaid Avenue with many, many, many people who have suffered catastrophic damage as a result of Hurricane Sandy. And Madeline, why don't you explain, first of all, how long have you lived out in this area? This is, for those who don't know, the Coney Island area. How long have you been out here?
28 years.
Why don't you tell our listeners what happened?
Horrible. The water was coming up. In less than 10 minutes, my whole house was gone. I have an 8-year-old. She tells me, Mommy, we're not going to survive. I'm going to die. I don't know how to swim. I put my son inside of a cooler in case we had to go out to the street. That way I could hold my daughter and I could have him floating inside the cooler. It was just crazy. Got down on my knees, started praying to God that the water would stop coming up. It just kept coming up. It was insane. After everything calmed down a little bit, the cars across the street started blowing up. I thought the car was going to fly into my house. The whole house is all glass. Lost everything. All my kids' clothes. I mean, material things could be replaced, but it was horrible. I never experienced pain the way I experienced pain that day.
Were you told to evacuate the area at all?
Yes, we were. But being that Irene didn't hit so hard, I thought it wasn't going to hit hard either. And I was wrong because it destroyed everything, everything.
Where are you staying now? Are you still in the house?
I'm still in the same apartment upstairs. just waiting for them to come and check everything.
When you say waiting for them?
FEMA, the Red Cross.
Has FEMA been responsive? Have they been out to Coney Island? Have you spoken with them yet?
I spoke to FEMA a few days ago. They said they was coming from 3 to 4 days. I'm still waiting for them to come. I know that they're out here, but everything is just gone. That, you know, I guess it's taking time for them to get to where I'm at.
And what are you doing about food and the basic necessities of life? And I assume, of course, you have no heat or anything of that sort?
No, I don't have no light, no heat, no hot water, nothing. Just trying to get out every day and see where I could get food from, Pampers, and just day by day.
Anything you think we should say to the government, to the government officials?
They definitely need to get out here and help all these people. Everything is gone. It's destroyed. Seagate. I live in Seagate. It's gone. It's so sad. It's just, everything is gone. It's really, I don't even know what to possibly be like done right now, being that everything is just gone.
Well, stay strong and
trying.
Needless to say, we wish you the best, and at least we'll try to come out here and do what we can to help. So, thank you.
I wonder if I could ask you what you experienced and what happened out here to you personally.
I live in Coney Island.
Coney Island. Do you mind telling us what happened?
What happened?
Wow. Yeah, what happened? I know.
What a met. Met. Started rising. It was scary.
Do you live in the projects? Do you live in a home?
I live in on 30th Street.
How high did the water come?
The covered cars.
Wow. What were you able to do when you saw the water coming to that level?
I ran downstairs first because I see somebody in the street almost drowning.
Wow. How long have you lived out here?
Well, I lived out here all my life.
And what have you been experiencing since the hurricane? I mean, it's quite cold out here today, and we're certainly feeling those ocean breezes. What's it been like since?
And it's a death, but we lost all our food. We had to go downstairs and get water, carry water upstairs. It's crazy. We had no light. Couldn't bathe for a couple of days.
Do you feel that the government administrators or agencies have been out to Coney Island to assist people?
No, not like they should.
No power, no heat, nothing?
No, we didn't have anything. We still don't have no cable. Mm-hmm. Because we got to wait till the street lights come on for the cable to come back on. So we don't even know what's going on in the world. But we're grateful for the power and to be allowed. God is good. Me, personally, like I'm going through something right now where I'm living at. And something that shouldn't be even thought about. But it's not my call. You know, whether I'm going to continue living here or not.
Yeah.
You know?
And who are you?
My name is Oscar Johnson.
Thanks. We certainly wish you the best, my brother. Do you mind if I talk to you folks about what's been happening out here since? What do you say to people? What's been happening with your families and so on out here?
Well, we still don't got no power where we at. No hot water. Freezing. Been freezing every night. But all we can say to people is stay strong.
Yeah. Do you think that any of the government agencies have been out here in sufficient number to deal with what people are facing?
No. No.
I would say yes.
No. Don't say yes. No.
It's so much I got to do with so many other people. That's what a lot of people don't understand.
Okay. Well, we'll get both perspectives. No. So you say no.
No. They have not been here. They have not.
They haven't.
They do nothing. We have elderly women and men that live in the back.
Yeah.
C-Rise. What is that? Day one? I don't got one. I live back there and they still suffering with no power, no water, no nothing.
Yeah, no electricity. We're walking up and down the stairs. It's nerve wracking back there.
Cool. And you feel there have been some agencies out here, but clearly more needs to be done.
More definitely needs to be done.
So what do you tell the mayor? What do you tell those people who are running for the election? What do they need to do out here?
We need generators.
Donate to the elections. Donate to Red Cross, because the money's not coming here. The money, there's no Red Cross stations in every corner. There should be. There's elderly people here that have not been moved. They haven't left the apartment since Monday night.
So we don't even know if
they're alive. We don't even know if they're okay. This is sad. This is very sad. Do not donate to Red Cross. FEMA's been here. I give it to FEMA. They're trying to do their thing. They've been in and out. They've been taking all everybody's questionnaires and claims, and they've been great. But let's see what happens. Let's see what FEMA gives us. This is just only putting a claim in. We haven't received anything as of yet.
Sure.
So how are people faring with just food?
There's a family of six sharing one sandwich.
Okay.
That's terrible.
What do you say to that?
That's terrible.
What I say that if there's any war that needs to happen, there needs to be a war on poverty in this country, because that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. The haves have more, and those who don't wind up in situations like this. I mean, what do you say? You're experiencing this. What do you tell the government to do?
Me being, if I was in a situation where I had at least hundreds of thousands, mm-hmm. I'd at least go and buy generators out of my pocket and bring them and say, listen, I only could bring five, but I'll try to get more. I'll try to come together with my wealthy people or whatever you may call them and bring as much as I can.
Do you have children, my brother?
Yes, I do have children.
How are the kids doing?
I had to bring my children where there was light. They're staying with somebody, a friend of mine. They have light and they have gas and they have heat. So I had to bring my children over there because my son had a seizure and his throat closed up because of being in the cold and because of the candle smoke and because no light, no heat. Not enough food. So my kids are actually in the Flatbush area. And my kids have seizures. I have two kids that have seizures and I have one.
Have you lived out in Coney Island your whole life?
My whole life.
What about you, sister?
Yeah, I live in Seagate, so I lost everything toppled over me. I lost my vehicle. That's all replaceable. It's just the thought of I was there. I saw the surge coming down the block when I turned around to go to my neighbors. It's stressful. It's just crazy. I feel for New Orleans. I feel for the people of Katrina. I feel for them. I feel for families that lose their homes and fires. I understand. I'm with them right there in the front line. And this is horrendous. This is sad. Like my young man, a brother right here, Richard, said, you know, if he was wealthy, where are the rappers that lived in Brooklyn? Where are these movie stars that grew up in Brooklyn, that want to make movies in Brooklyn, that want to use Brooklyn? Where are you? Come and help us. Come and stand in these corners. Give out food, hot food, water, generators. Nobody's around. No one of wealth is around here. This is just the poor helping the poor. God bless us all. Thank you.
Who are you, sister?
My name is Michelle Nunez. I live in Seagate, born and raised in Brooklyn.
What do you think about what the sister was saying about where are the Jay-Z's now?
Yes,
where are, I mean, I don't want to pick on that brother.
Yeah,
there's lots of white folks, etc. But
it's the truth, though. They went crazy for the stadium.
Yeah.
They go crazy for everybody that's out here suffering right now.
Your parents out here, too?
I just recently got my parents out of here last night. If it wasn't for family members across town or anything that I couldn't get in contact with us, they got in contact with us through Facebook, and we told them that we were stuck out here, and they got out.
I want to just ask you, in general, do you think that these communities out here from Garrison Beach, Gravesend, Coney Island, are they generally neglected as well? Is it just about the storm or?
I think Coney Island is the most neglected. We always forgotten about all the time.
They don't consider Coney Island Brooklyn.
In all reality, if you look in the papers, Coney Island is only known for their looting right now.
That's it. For looting.
What do you expect us to do when we actually cleaned up? Shouldn't we be on, hey, listen, Coney Island, thousands of cars lost. Thousands of stores lost. This, that, families have nothing. There was a family that died in the car.
They died in the car that night. It's terrible.
They're promoting the looting, but we actually woke up 8 in the morning and actually helped clean
up.
At least 80 bags of garbage we picked up. You don't see none of that in the news, on the radio, or nothing like that.
Well, we'll make sure that people hear about it now. Thank you.
All right.
What's your name?
My name is Tyron.
And my name is Kirk.
Rich.
Thank you, brothers.
I just got back. That's what I said. We were in different places, so we don't know where we're going to be back here. I just can't make that promise.
We're out of applications.
Karen Hamburg, I know you're down here with the Legal Aid Society Mobile Van in Coney Island, and it's incredible. Tell us a little bit about what you've been attempting to do here and what your impression of the devastation of this area is.
As we rode down, down here, we saw mounds and mounds of sand and sand dunes on streets where people usually park. And these are two blocks, three blocks from the beach. We were here. The Legal Aid Society has a mobile unit, which is relatively new. And what we've been attempting to do is to go to different places and provide services in the community so people don't have to travel. So while they're in Coney Island, there were some places further down. We are further into Coney Island. And what we're doing is giving people applications for replacement food stamps, and we're doing FEMA applications online to help expedite the process in case people haven't been able to get to where they can get it done.
Is there any general advice that we can give to people? I know that you've actually run out of applications here, and the van will continue to rove from area to area that has been so catastrophically damaged by this storm. But any particular advice that you could recommend to people who have been so sorely affected?
Be persistent. That in addition to coming to Legal Aid, follow up on your applications with SNAP, with your local offices. Follow up on your FEMA applications wherever you have filed them, either electronically, by email, just to keep following up and to be persistent in whatever benefits you want or you think you're entitled to. Persistency is what's going to save the day, because people's applications will get lost, they will get misplaced, and it's up to you to be persistent in making sure that your benefits are secured.
And you've seen the sand, you've seen the faces of people. It is cold out here.
How do you
process this?
I process this as New Yorkers being New Yorkers. People are helping people. People are taking Spanish applications and saying, my friend will translate it. We're giving out water. People are really being New Yorkers, and they're helping people through this process. And it's devastating, but there is a resilience in the human spirit, which is very refreshing. And it makes working at the Legal Aid Society and doing this kind of outreach all the more helpful.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Okay, is this address, phone number, case number?
Social Security?
Yeah.
Excuse me, gentlemen, I'm with Radio WBAI. Do you mind if I talk to you about what you're experiencing out in this neighborhood?
I can even tell you more what kind of a goddamn city we got here.
What do you mean, brother?
The way the mayor runs this goddamn city, I don't think he gives a damn for this community.
And what do you think?
It's Hurricane Sandy. We make it through, and you know, there's nothing you can do. This is Mother Nature. What are we going to do? You know.
And what did you experience personally?
Oh, I experienced it. I thought the world was going to end. I saw the water, how high, 13 feet. I thought it was over.
Where exactly do you live?
I live almost by Bayview, 36th Street and Neptune Avenue.
So what, you're about four blocks in from
one
the
block.
Water? One block in from the
one
water.
One long block, right.
And what floor are you on?
Second.
Second
and
floor.
I saw it was about at least 13 to 14 feet.
And how's your family doing?
Oh, everybody's pulled through. Thanks God.
You seem to be enormously optimistic, all things considered.
I'm a jolly God, and I understand that you got to praise the Lord when the times is bad, and you got to praise the Lord when times is good, and just go on with your normal life, because nothing's promised tomorrow. You're here today, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and just thanks God we get past tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hey, man!
And let's see if we can get...
That's my brother there. How you doing? Did you make it in Washington? Did you make it? Jeffrey, right?
Hakeem Jeffrey.
Well,
I can't help it, but we... and frankly, it's delightful to see Hakeem Jeffries out, who is now the member of the legislature-elect, and he's in Coney Island. I know you've certainly seen and experienced poverty, and you represent a community that generally has enormous problems. How are we to understand and process, and what needs to be done for more resources to certainly this Coney Island community?
Well, the Coney Island community was hit incredibly hard by Superstorm Sandy. It's a community, as you mentioned, that already is experiencing significant needs, has not traditionally gotten the resources that the residents of Coney Island deserve to survive with the level of decency and humanity that should be the case anywhere in this country, certainly in the city of New York. The storm is going to exacerbate the challenges that already existed. We've got to deal with the humanitarian situation first, make sure everyone has food, water, medicine, and access the heat, and then begin to start the process of repairing people's lives. Today, we're pleased that we're able to partner with the Legal Aid Society so we can begin to connect the residents with the governmental resources that are available to help address some of those humanitarian needs, particularly as it relates to the need for food and medical assistance.
Well, you're about to enter the Congress, and then you are processing and contextualizing this to a much broader problem that clearly exists. It shouldn't be, but almost the hidden face of poverty, certainly not to those who live it, but to the general population. So do we get a real war on poverty, not external wars, but what do we really need to do?
Well, the suffering that exists that has been brought to light to some degree by the spotlight on places like Coney Island hopefully will wake up people within the government and outside of the government to the need to meaningfully address poverty in a real way in this country. There obviously are forces in this country who don't believe that government has any legitimate role at all in the lives of people, including those who we need to help get back up on their feet.
Except when they request the government, FEMA coming in during the storm.
So this is a moment
that
will lead to a broader conversation that I believe will hopefully provide an opening for us to put a meaningful war on poverty back on the agenda, particularly under the next 4 years of what I expect to be a second term of President Barack Obama.
Well, Congressman, we wish you the best in Washington and, of course, for our communities out here in Coney Island and many others. Thank you for speaking with
and
us.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Hi, where do you live?
35th and Fifth.
So you're just a block or two from the beach.
Yeah.
What did you experience? What happened to you as a result of this storm?
Well, I can't even go back to our building. The lights are off.
What floor are you on?
We're on the fourth floor. They came to the second floor. We have duplex, and they came all the way up to the second floor. The first floor people, their apartment are destroyed. The building, we don't have no lights, no heat. The building's a mess. It's like the sea came into the building. And right now it's hard because, well, my windows, we had to leave Saturday, so the window wasn't really working well, and the wind looked like it destroyed. Like it had a tornado inside my house. Everything is like upside down.
What do you need now? What has to be done out here to help people such as yourself?
Right now the people need food. Some people need clothes. We need medical. Because as me as an asthmatic, no pharmacists available for us. My daughter's an asthmatic, and no water. No, it's hard. And then you don't have the money really to help. You have to provide for the people we in because we sharing rooms with them. You know, so I'm proud of it. But it's just grateful that we are alive. That's what's most important. And then some people get worse than us. And that's sad. Some people lost their lives. It's more tragic than others.
And who are you?
I'm Laverne Penn.
And what about government? What do you think they should be doing for folks?
I think they should be out here helping them. I mean, everywhere need help. Some people are worse than some of them. But if they don't help us, then we fall to the ground. You know what I'm saying? Right now, we just need a place to put over a roof over our head. Winter's coming.
Yeah.
And in this school, it's difficult without a school and without a hospital. And the home that they elderly, they suffer more than us, too.
Right. So now it's been almost a whole week, huh?
And we're going to be out again for another week in my building.
You don't think you'll have power for
they told us that they don't know because our basement is right next to the water. It was so high up on the water. It was covered with water. And our electricity, everything is in the basement. So right now it's hard for us.
Well, of course, our hopes are with you. We'll certainly do what we can to push government to get more services here and really wish you the best, sister. Okay, let me ask another woman who's been out here all day, looks a little frosty herself, Ellen Davidson.
Well, we have
How do you process, how do you understand what happened here and what you've been experiencing all day?
I mean, this neighborhood has been devastated. I was in Red Hook yesterday. They've been devastated. The people, the community here was already struggling and having to deal with not only the destruction, the loss, living in the dark and the cold without water for 5 days. It's overwhelming.
And what can you specifically do, or what can any of us really do to at least give some fundamental cursory service to these folks?
I've seen requests for, a lot of elected officials seem to be collecting flashlights and essential equipment for their communities. I would check on their website to see what they need. Coney Island is devastated. Karakwe, we're getting messages from our fellow union members who are in Karakwe today helping out. They are suffering in Karakwe. So getting food, flashlights, batteries, essentials, diapers, formula to places. New York Communities for Change is collecting on Fulton Street to bring to Far Rockaway. Any help that people can give, volunteers are needed everywhere.
Ellen Davidson, thank you.
Okay. Call on Monday.
Monday.
And you speak Russian?
Yeah.
So tell them Russian, okay?
Russian, yeah.
Okay.
I do my sales.
And then this is for, and ask?
Give me a call.
Food stamps. Okay, because of hurricane.
Okay. Ricky, may I just for a moment? You're dealing with the issue of lost wages. What is it that you can tell people? What is doable for people who are working, people who have lost their wages during this hurricane period?
New York State Department of Labor has put something up on its website that says that there are disaster unemployment assistance benefits available. And apparently they can replace some amount of lost wages where people couldn't get to their job because of the hurricane, their employer was closed because of the hurricane, their employer's damaged because of the hurricane, they couldn't get through because of transportation problems, any kind of reason that you might have lost some wages this week because of the storm, or maybe in the coming weeks. And this is up on the website of the New York State Department of Labor, which is www.labor.ny.gov. And then there are a whole bunch of other things. But basically, you want to put in that you're looking for unemployment and then look for disaster unemployment assistance.
We just came from out here.
Okay, thanks. Anything else that you want to say that relates to the situation of employment or, frankly, anything you've experienced out here as the fan kind of whips by us?
One thing I'll mention is that if you are doing work cleaning up or helping, you're supposed to get paid at least the minimum wage. You got to be paid overtime of time and a half, over 40 hours. If you work more than a 10-hour day, you should be getting an extra $7.25 every day. You're entitled to mealtime, and you should be not working in dangerous conditions with no protective gear. These are all things that we saw happening, people getting cheated and people getting exposed to dangerous conditions after 9/11, and we don't want to see that happen again.
And you are?
I am Richard Blum, staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society's Employment Law Unit.
Thanks. I'm Mimi Rosenberg on West 28th Street and Mermaid Avenue in Coney Island.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.